Welcome to election coverage for 2016, the Bob Davis Podcast's The New Talk. This is the way this works with election 2016 coverage and podcasting, sponsored by X-Government Cars and Ryan Plumbing and Heating. I have two microphones set up, one in front of one computer, and then I come all the way over here and I have another one in front of another big monitor and computer so I can monitor the results. It is about 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern, and RealClearPolitics.com is already calling Indiana, Kentucky for Trump and Vermont for Clinton. Kentucky has like 10% of the vote in, and Vermont has 0%, Indiana has something like 7%. Now, these are foregone conclusions, so either they're testing this early on, or they just decided to punt those in those columns. So, very quickly, you know, I've got all these monitors, and I've got all these results, and this is the way this works. When something comes in, I report on it, and the rest of the time, I just turn the recorder off. So, you're going to hear real time. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm not recording this after. I'm recording it actually real time. So, when it all kind of comes together, you'll hear a real time record of how things went down on election night 2016, and then I'll post this so everybody can listen to it. So, it's kind of an odd sort of final state-by-state roundup in that respect. Well, this was, you know, what's great about today, this election day was a great day to vote. It was beautiful today, and it has been beautiful today, but you know what's coming. Just like they say on the TV show, winter is coming, and it will not be pleasant. We are going to pay for this. We in Minnesota are going to pay for this fine weather. And so here's the deal. You really still have time to have Ryan Plumbing and Heating come out and check your heating system. It's a good idea to do it while they are there. Ask them about floor heating. Ask them about high efficiency heating systems. I'll just tell you, they're expensive, but they really save you money over a few years. So if you can get high efficiency heat put in, it's worth the deal. Also, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating for emergency service, especially when it gets cold and we start talking about broken pipes and things of that nature. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. In St. Paul, 651-224-4771. For four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, great emergency service, business service, residential service, Ryan Plumbing and Heating on University Avenue in St. Paul. Once again, you call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, you call 612-927-6488. Guess what? They go metro-wide from either location. Either number reaches the same. Check them out online at the award-winning website, RyanPlumbingAndHeating.com. It's actually RyanPlumbing.com, I'm sorry, but I say that because my friend Mitch is coming over later and he did the website. So it is the award-winning RyanPlumbing.com site. Check him out. And thanks again for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, I just made myself a fantastic election night dinner. I have got my swivel chair pulled up here. Since we last spoke, it is now 7:04 Central, 8:04 Eastern, and they've put in West Virginia and South Carolina for Trump with 2% and 0% of the vote, respectively. No, 2% in South Carolina, 0% in West Virginia. These are states where he had a huge advantage, and it looks like, you know, I need to go through in detail. I'm not surprised. They just added Mississippi and Oklahoma for Trump, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Maryland, Rhode Island, Washington, D.C., Delaware, and Illinois. For Clinton. And so these are the strongholds, as I told you in the state-by-state poll. No surprises here. And of course, now everybody's just on the edge of their seat looking at this electoral vote. Real quick, the one thing I did not mention when I did the state-by-state polls is data mining and quote-unquote listening to the internet. And for people who are data mining, listening to the internet, checking out what Facebook posts and Twitter posts say, then they might have some deeper insights to polls and to specific behavior in specific states than we would be able to call. I spent some time today with Google Analytics and Google Trends, and there's some interesting things. For instance, today and yesterday were great days for searching for Hillary Clinton across the country. So I don't know what that means. The problem is with all of this data, you would have to know what that meant specifically to know whether or not there was any implication application or anything that you'd have to know what a piece of data meant in order to apply it. So what we're looking at right now is we're looking at the political scientists basically assigning stronghold states to specific candidates. Tennessee just came up for Trump and Pence, and again, there's no 0% of the vote is counted, but Trump had about a 70% advantage there. So they're going to call the strongholds early on just to put something up on the map. So that's kind of what it is. The polls out east don't close for another hour. Well, they're just closing now, 8 o'clock. And the polls in the Midwest won't close for another hour. So, and of course, on the West Coast and throughout the Mountain West, we've got a couple more hours yet before these polls start to close. But you will see strongholds out west given to either candidate, at least projections, as the evening progresses. That's not what's important. I'm watching Florida, I'm watching Ohio, I'm watching North Carolina initially first, and then secondarily Pennsylvania and Michigan in the Eastern time zone to really see what's going on. You know, I wish I had all the data mining stuff, and I wish I was privy to that kind of information, because that's kind of information that may actually trump the polls, so to speak. You know, when people say the polls are wrong or the polls aren't quote-unquote accurate, what we're lacking is the real granular information that you get from the internet when you're listening to the internet, when you're doing data mining. That we cannot see. And everybody has a different discipline for doing that. And if you go to Google Trends... a little stuttering there. If you go to Google Trends, then you can start kind of poking around in some of that stuff. So a new wrinkle this year for my coverage is that usually around 10 o'clock, my friends start calling me. So I'm gonna go ahead and just put the phone on speaker and hold it close to the microphone and have some of these conversations if I get calls. I may not get calls because everybody I know is at parties and, you know, waiting for results. So we'll see if people call me and where we go from there. So one of the latest developments is that with giving Illinois to Clinton, now Illinois, of course, we know is a Democrat stronghold, Mark Kirk is looking like he has lost his seat as predicted to Tammy Duckworth in Illinois. So that is one Senate seat pickup for the Democrats. And they haven't called New Hampshire yet. That's a very close race. They haven't called Richard Burr in North Carolina yet. That is a very close race. Obviously, they haven't called Bob Portman in Ohio, although Portman seemed to have pulled out. I think he had a 16-point advantage last poll I looked at for the Senate. So the Republicans have lost one Senate seat. And let me just check over here because and now I'm kind of testing this out as well, but you know, I just watched a little bit of coverage on CNN, and I just need to say a couple things because people have been calling me all day. You know, it's close in Virginia. It's close in this. It's close in that place. I told you when you go through the state-by-state polls, these races were close. They were within the margin of error in several places, even places where Trump and Clinton were ahead or behind by 4 or 5 points. The margin of error on these polls, depending on which one was taken last, depending on the sample size of the poll, are very variable, to say the least. So North Carolina is close. Virginia is close. Ohio is close. Pennsylvania is close enough. The only place where it isn't close are these places that they've already given the vote to either one of the two parties because they know that Illinois and New York State are not going to probably vote Republican. Okay? So it's really not headline news. If you have been following my coverage of the state-by-state polls, if you have been following and looking at the state-by-state polls very closely, I just saw that North Carolina is very close and Trump is leading right now. The problem with all this, unless you go to the North Carolina Secretary of State's office and unless you know where the counties in question are, you don't know where the vote's coming from. My suspicion is it's going to take a long time to get votes from the Mountain West of North Carolina into where it needs to go to be counted. And there's always recalcitrant districts and precincts that take time to get the final count in. So very early on, especially out east, especially with states that have traditionally close races, please be careful about jumping up and down because somebody's ahead by 1 or 2% or behind by 1 or 2%. It's, you know, we've got to see the final vote tallies, or at least enough that a state can be called, you know, 60 or 70% where you can see a 5 or 6 or 10-point advantage in actual votes. And the people that know these states know that the votes coming from the Mountain West in a state like North or South Carolina isn't going to make a difference. Now, you know, some of this stuff that I'm seeing on some of the maps, they're calling it for certain candidates with 0% of the vote in. They called Missouri with 0% of the vote for Trump. I don't know what we have to, you know, obviously somebody said, based on the returns that are in, they can call it. But I don't like that when they do that. So let's just, some of these races are going to get, it's going to be a nail biter. I mean, you're going to be biting your nails either way on North Carolina. You're going to be biting your nails either way on Virginia. And the same is true probably with Ohio and Pennsylvania, although a little less with Pennsylvania. So this is where we're looking in the Eastern time zone initially. And once we see who takes Florida and who takes North Carolina and who takes these other places, then we can begin to make some predictions about where we're going to go as we move west. So now we start to see some results from Florida coming in, not for the presidential race, but for congressional races. And the Republicans have a hold and a pickup in Florida. So now we have two House pickups for one House pickup and two holds for the Republicans in Florida. This is District 18, which is just north of West Palm. So we're talking about Port St. Lucie and around that area, which is a pretty conservative part of Florida. We're not down far enough past West Palm for us to start getting into the whole Miami sphere. But and I don't know, in terms of these congressional districts, it's hard to tell what it means for Florida in general. But I think the thing about Florida that people have to look at is we're talking about, they call it the I-4 corridor, but they're talking about Miami and down around that area. Of course, the Keys are unpredictable, libertarian, crazy. The middle part of the state is, you know, a lot of minorities, so to speak. The western part of the state tends to be probably fairly conservative and older. And the northern part of the state, Jacksonville and around there, and of course the Panhandle, is kind of industrial in an odd sort of way. So it isn't just all beaches and palm trees in Florida. But so far, the Republicans seem to be doing fairly well in the House, but we're only talking about three seats right now. So I'm not going to keep doing this with the House. I'll come back to the House later when we have more results in from across the country. So I just wanted to throw that out in terms of Florida. I'm watching the House to see if maybe there's some indication of what's going on in Florida in some of these districts for the general vote, which, by the way, has not yet come up yet. Now back to the Senate very quickly. It's I don't know, just about 8 o'clock, a little after eight central, and I want to talk about the Senate very quickly because we now just have some projections. It looks like Rubio is going to retain his seat. Florida has 71% of the vote counted. Very interesting that they haven't called Florida yet in terms of presidential race, but it looks like Rubio will retain his seat. As you know, Rubio announced that back in the summer, he said he would be a private citizen in January of 2017, and then he was exhorted to run because the Republicans were afraid they were going to lose the Senate. Florida's a GOP hold, at least according to what I'm looking at. And let's see here. Indiana, you know, Evan Bayh launched a pretty solid race against, you know, Young there, but that's a GOP hold. And the thing that's interesting about that is the polls were, and I have to look, but they look pretty good for Bayh just prior to, it was very close, but again, within the margin of error, and Bayh kind of was leading for a while there. So that's kind of interesting. In Kentucky, Rand Paul has retained his seat. I don't think there was going to any surprise to that at all. That's a GOP hold. So right now we only have one Dem pickup for the Senate for the Republicans. Also Ohio, Bob Portman with 25% of the vote counted. It looks like Bob Portman has been reelected down in Ohio. Yeah, and I just a quick disclaimer This is fast and furious and in real time, and so I'm making some mistakes. The Dem pickup is Tammy Duckworth. It's not for the Republicans, by the way. And I love how I have these little almost weird colloquialisms in my speech, referring to Ohio as down in Ohio. Well, I'm in Minnesota, so to me, everything below us, which is the entire country, is down in somewhere. So I just wanted to point that out. You know, I can't resist another quick little thing, a little note. So I'm looking at when some of these states are supposed to be released, okay? And 7 p.m. Eastern, we were supposed to see some data on Virginia, Georgia, Kentucky, Vermont, Indiana, South Carolina. We saw data for Kentucky, Vermont, South Carolina, and Indiana. They have not yet posted a projection for Georgia, and 18% of the vote has been counted. Virginia has not yet been called, and Virginia's at 71% of the vote counted. And I don't know what is the holdup or which part, what districts, what precincts are being weighted, but this is what's interesting. So far, with 71% of the vote counted in Virginia, Trump is almost 6 points ahead of Clinton. So that is going to be an interesting call right there. Georgia, I don't know why they haven't called Georgia yet for Trump, but Trump is at 60% with 18% of the vote. Well, that's why, because he's got a big lead with 18%. Virginia, you know, it looks like it's ready to fall any second. We'll just have to wait and see. Clinton, Trump in North Carolina, they've got 20% of the vote counted. It's really close, 47 to 49. They're not going to call that for a while. Same thing in Ohio right now. And I'm talking about right now, it is almost 8 o'clock in the Eastern time zone, and actually almost 9 o'clock in the Eastern time zone. And Virginia's at 44.8 and 50.3 for Trump. And Ohio's at 48.5 versus 47.7 with 26% of the vote counted. North Carolina, same kind of situation, 49 to 47 to round it off with something like 20% of the vote counted. So at 7:30 p.m., we were supposed to have results for Ohio and North Carolina, Georgia and Virginia. And then at 8 p.m. Eastern, we were supposed to have results for Alabama, Delaware, Illinois, Maine, District 1, Maryland, Mississippi, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, Washington, Connecticut, Florida, Maine at large, Maine District 2, Massachusetts, Missouri, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee. We got all those except for Maine District 1, which is really close, with only 6% of the vote counted. New Hampshire looks like it's falling to Clinton, but only 13% of the vote has been counted. Connecticut, obviously, to Clinton. Florida is Clinton. According to this thing, just ahead, so Clinton has 47 and Trump has 49, 74% of the vote counted in Florida. So they're going to have to call that pretty soon. And that's interesting that that's being held back. Maine at large, 2-3% of the vote. It's hard to tell what's going on. Maine District 2, same thing. I don't really care about Maine because it's really not that many electoral votes. And then we're looking at a clean slate after 8:30 p.m. Eastern. All the way down. So the rest of the states, there's nothing. And they are calling some of the Senate races. Obviously, I just mentioned Rubio, which is an indicator. And the fact that Republicans have held on to two House seats right now in Florida is also interesting to me. Although, you know, you could make, here's, we have a situation where Charlie Crist has won Florida District 13, which I mentioned is over on the West Coast. So I don't know what that means for Florida. But I would say at this point, if I was on the air, you know, I would be saying we got to be hearing something about Florida here pretty soon. We got to be hearing something pretty soon about Virginia because we're well over 70% of the vote, 1, 2, 3 points in some of those areas. So, you know, Florida is going to be the big one. Florida is a big Florida and Virginia are big. If Trump wins those, that's going to be a huge I don't want to say upset because that's not the word I would use. They're just going to be a huge piece. So I'm sitting here drinking my coffee, just waiting to see what's going on with Florida. So I just checked, I think it was CNN and Fox, because I wanted to see what, if they had anything on Virginia. And, you know, I am so glad I'm doing it this way because I don't have to listen to these people bloviate about what's going on or how it's different from, all that stuff is just trivial. We're waiting right now for Virginia, where we're now at 77% of the vote counted, and Trump is in the lead by 4 points. So I don't know what the precinct, as I said, I don't know what they're holding out there, but that's one. And of course, now they're calling Kansas, Nebraska, North Dakota, Texas, Wyoming, Nebraska District 2, and South Dakota for the Republicans and for Trump in the presidential race. Again, those are strongholds. No surprise there. New York for Clinton. No surprise there either. So what you're left with are the trivial versus the important. So when you log into CNN's site, you see a little slider that shows how many electoral votes one team has over the other. Trivial, because really what it's about are these key states. They're holding out Georgia, which it looks like Trump's going to win, but it's 23% of the vote. Virginia, which is starting to bother me. Let's see what Virginia's all about. Ohio is a virtual tie right now. That's why they held it out. 28% of the vote counted. And like I said, these other states that are being called for either candidate at this point are, even though the polls have closed, you know, they're strongholds. One other thing, I'm in Minnesota, so there's some local Minnesota races I'm looking at. But when the polls close at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock or whenever it is that they close in a particular time zone, the vote doesn't automatically just come in. It takes a while for these precincts to report. So, we don't know what the vote's going to be until the very end. And it's really key which districts are being held out, because the percentage can change pretty rapidly. But now we have 79%. So I tell you what I'm looking at really closely right now is Virginia. Virginia has 79% of the vote counted, and Trump's lead has just widened from 47 or so to 49.4 versus Clinton's 45.6. So same thing in Georgia and Ohio. Trump is again, now he's ahead by 3 points with 30% of the precincts counted in Ohio. So, or 30% of the vote counted in Ohio. So, like I said, nail biter. By the way, nobody's mentioned North Carolina still. 30% of the vote counted. They are neck and neck in North Carolina. So that's another one we're going to be watching. So it's down to three states right now for me: North Carolina, Florida, Virginia, actually four, Ohio. This is what I said everybody needed to watch. These three or four states are key to this whole thing. By the way, New Hampshire was another one people mentioned as a nail biter. 15% of the vote counted so far. Clinton's in the lead there. So again, I don't want to keep coming on and saying this because I don't want this podcast to go on forever. And you already know the results that you're listening to. So what I really want you to hear is my reaction to this stuff. So I'm going to shut up for a little while. So it's now, what time is it here? It's 8:41 Central. And we're still not seeing any results for Virginia, Ohio, North Carolina, and Florida. Florida is probably, Virginia and Florida are like, Virginia's like 94% counted and they haven't called it yet. And Florida's not far behind. Obviously, they're not calling it because of the experience of 2000. You know, they'll make sure. But I just want to say one thing. So again, I'm going to make the point because I keep hearing people are calling and they're saying, hey, this, hey, that, or you're seeing people say things on television about things. You know, who's leading who, and depending on what's going on. As these votes are counted, they come in at different times from different precincts in different places. So I just checked a couple of friends in Minnesota to see how their races are doing, whether it's a state representative race or a state Senate race or congressional race. And, you know, the lead and the percentage here and there depends on precincts and depends on regions coming in. And some regions are notoriously so slow. Some regions generally vote one way or the other. So if you look at a general result on a page and you see Florida is at whatever, 57, let's say Florida's 48.5 versus, 51.3, which it isn't, but let's just say that. It's actually within 2 points of each other. You don't know what's out. So unless you look at a state map and determine what's out, it's hard to say what that means. So these races seesaw back and forth. When we get to the large percentage done, like 84-94% of the votes counted, that's when this final precinct count becomes important. So that's what we're waiting on here in Florida and Ohio and North Carolina and Virginia. Virginia especially for me, because Virginia was a state that was expected to vote for Clinton. And it's very close. It's closer than the polls showed, which I think is interesting. So it's 8:47 in the Central Time Zone. And they've just projected New Mexico for Mrs. Clinton. Let me just check real quick to just see the numbers here, because that's That's important. So New Mexico. And again, that's not something I'm surprised about. New Mexico. Where is it? MNN. There it is. New Mexico, 53 to 35. I don't know what the percentage, I guess 33% of the vote in now, but that's a pretty big trouncing. Again, I had New Mexico listed as a stronghold for Clinton, so I'm not really surprised about that. Okay, they also just gave Connecticut to Clinton. Again, not a surprise. Connecticut, no. Her numbers were always solid in Connecticut. So, you know, Connecticut doesn't strike me as being news at this point. Still watching Florida and Virginia and Ohio and North Carolina like a hawk. So very quickly, I want to talk about Virginia a little bit because we're still, you know, waiting to see what's going on with Virginia. It's just about 9 o'clock central, so it's 10 o'clock out there. 90% of the precincts counted in Virginia, although the Virginia Secretary of State's site is lagging a little bit. It says 77% of the precincts counted. So I don't know if what I'm seeing on realclearpolitics.com are projections. I would hesitate to call it. It's very close, within tenths of points right now. But the dichotomy is in the northern part of the state, northern Virginia, Alexandria, places like that. That's where you see Arlington County. That's where you are seeing this heavy vote for Clinton. And then you get down to places like Bristol City, where, I went, which is the birthplace of country music in America, modern country music, basically. I did a whole podcast about that. That's heavily Trump. Depending on what you go down to the Tidewater, you could get different kinds of results. Chesterfield County is suburban Virginia, suburban Richmond. That's kind of split both ways. So these final few precincts, these final few places are really key in seeing who wins Virginia. And I'm sure that's the case in Florida and these other places. So what you have to do is you have to go online, search for the Florida Secretary of State's website, go there, look at the election results, and look at it by precinct if you really want to know what's going on. So Florida's the same kind of thing, where you see tremendous numbers for Clinton in urban districts like Miami, and that's why it's so close right now. Palm Beach is pretty heavily split, but leans towards Clinton. The further south you get, Brevard County, Broward County, two different, one is B-R-E-V-A-R-D, the other one is Broward. I don't know how you pronounce them. Down there, they got a whole pronunciation guide for this stuff, but anyway, they're Clinton counties, and depending on what you're looking at, Jacksonville versus Miami, Clearwater versus Tallahassee, and so on, you're looking at different vote totals. Where there are counties that have high levels of population, now the reference here is, let's just look at Illinois. Cook County has a huge population compared to the rest of the country, the rest of the state of Illinois. So Cook County becomes really important unless there's a huge vote across the state in one particular direction. In Minnesota, it's Hennepin, Ramsey, Olmsted, and St. Louis County that has a big impact because they're populated counties. Okay, St. Louis County is gigantic geographically. It's pretty sparse. But then when you get into Duluth and Virginia and places like that, you're looking at the population of the so-called range. So geographically, it's very important, just as I talked about with Virginia. And that's where we're at with these just final percentages of the total vote. Well, I should take this moment before we get started with the results to talk about Mobile Podcast Command, and I really appreciate the contributions to keep Mobile Podcast Command up and running. But I also want to thank Ed Johnson at xgovernmentcars.com. Somebody said on Facebook, hey, where did your ambulance come from? What county? No, I'm not going to tell you what county my ambulance came from, because that's my ambulance's special private life. And you don't get to know where Mobile Podcast Command came from. But it does have a history, and it's a very rich history, FYI. But the spiritual father, the place it came from, is xgovernmentcars.com. And let me tell you about xgovernmentcars.com. It's Minnesota's only dealer specializing in one-owner, professionally maintained government fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs. They've got the Ford Police sedans. They have the Ford Police SUVs. They've got the Chevy Impala V8s. They've got the Dodge Chargers, the Expeditions. He's got an Expedition from the FBI that's super clean and really cool. And so it's a great place. And I've had 3 Crown Vics and, of course, Mobile Podcast Command. Mobile Podcast Command went 4,000 miles just recently, and it. My voice is breaking because of the love that I feel. Mobile Podcast Command, the gauges didn't move a scotch the entire time. All right, listen, if you need a car, if you need a loan, a work truck, if you have a job, you're approved for a loan at X Government Cars. They take trades. They pay the highest values every day without all the bull. And guess what? Veterans Day is coming up, so they have the veterans discount for all of you who has served your country. Get your butt down to xgovernmentcars.com. They do this every year on Veterans Day. They're now open at 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley. You can contact them old school at 763-777-8782.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Okay, so it is just about, 8:02 in the Central Time Zone, and looks like Virginia has been called for Hillary Clinton with about 92% of the vote counted. It's a very thin margin, but I'm sure that they're waiting for some of these Northern Virginia counties to come in. So it's 47-5 versus 47-3 right now. And so Virginia is going to go to Hillary Clinton, which is kind of what the polls suggested. We're talking about within the margins, 2-3% lead in Virginia for Clinton. It was greater at one point, but in Virginia, it's the dichotomy between Richmond, Virginia and Northern Virginia versus the rest of the state. Western Virginia, you know, places like Buena Vista and Bristol and down at the Tidewater where the military base is and so on. So it looks like probably Northern Virginia finally tipped the scales for Hillary Clinton in the Commonwealth. And that's that on Virginia. We're still waiting on Georgia. We're still waiting on Ohio, which is 56% counted. And most importantly, still waiting on Florida, where Trump, with 95% of the vote counted, has almost a 2-point lead. So we'll just have to see what happens in Florida. You know, back to the Senate very quickly, just as an indicator, for North Carolina, which I'm watching closely. We're also watching Florida. You know, he has almost a 2-point lead that's holding 99% of the vote counted. I don't know what the holdup there is, but you can imagine it's Florida. North Carolina, 71% of the vote counted. Trump is at 50.5. Clinton is at 46.9. And the reason I mentioned North Carolina is we go down to the Senate races, and Richard Burr looks to have retained his seat by about a 5% advantage. That could have an impact on the presidential race. Burr was in a tight fight there, and that's a GOP hold. And just another one, Ohio, I mentioned that Bob Portman had retained his seat. So far, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 GOP holds, and we have one Democrat pickup when it comes to the Senate, but most significantly, North Carolina. So really, we are waiting to see what happens with North Carolina, and we're waiting to see what happens with Florida right now. Coming up behind that is Ohio. Trump has a pretty solid lead there, almost a 10-point, 11-point lead now, but it's only 63% of the vote counted, and I don't know which precincts are in or not, and that's all going to depend on east, west, north, south when it comes to Ohio, so hold your breath on that one. I'm getting calls and messages from people saying, he's doing really well. You know, you can say that he's doing well, and that's fine, but it all depends on whether or not he wins the states. He was doing well in Virginia, better than the polls showed, but Clinton has won Virginia. So if Clinton wins Florida, if Clinton wins North Carolina, if Clinton wins Ohio, doing well doesn't mean diddly squat. He's got to win those states. Now, right now, it looks like he is, but it's all about where the votes come from, who votes, and the final tallies. Now we got something to talk about. So I mentioned the Bob Portman race in Ohio is impinging perhaps on the presidential tallies, and they have just given Ohio to Trump. That is significant. That's a very significant development. Ohio is a key state if you want to win the presidency. And I'm not going to give you the electoral count because right now it doesn't matter. So now we have Ohio in, and the total's there, 64% of the vote counted, 53% Trump, 42% Clinton. So now we're going to be looking very closely at Florida and North Carolina. And if he wins Florida, Florida is very close. Clinton 42-2, Trump I'm sorry, Florida 47-7 to 49-2 with 99% of the precincts counted. North Carolina not quite that close, but if he wins Florida and North Carolina, then we're talking, now we're going to be starting to move the action west. By the way, they just gave Montana to Trump, which again, there's 0% of the precincts that are actually in, but I am assuming that they figure that the vote's going to be lopsided in Montana because that's one of those stronghold states. So good news for the Republicans if they are Trump supporters. Ohio has gone to Donald J. Trump, and that is significant because that's the state Romney could not win. And according to this thing, Ohio by a pretty wide margin. And by the way, just as an aside, while you're thinking about Ohio, an industrial heartland state, and I remember when I toured and went through the industrial heartland, Cleveland, Michigan, Upper Peninsula, you know, all through that Wisconsin, the air show last summer, you know, I said the industrial heartland is going to be really important. So Michigan is a state with a fair number of electoral votes. And if Michigan is able to, be brought in for Trump, now right there with 28% of the vote counted in Michigan, he's leading by 5% roughly. And his last rally was in Michigan, where he talked about bringing jobs back to Michigan. And I'm going to do more podcast about this and talk about this a little bit more. But Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, this is the industrial heartland of the country. If he takes this, it's extremely significant. And it's significant that he has won Ohio, a state that Romney could not win in 2012. So already we're starting to see a slightly different pattern here. Hillary Clinton winning Virginia, Trump winning Ohio, Trump winning West Virginia, Trump winning, maybe these industrial states in the middle, certainly Indiana and Ohio and Kentucky and Tennessee and West Virginia. So again, we're waiting on Florida, which is going to be the linchpin in this discussion. And I will just tell you, with 99% of the precincts counted in Florida, he's up by 2 points. So unless there's some huge discrepancy or something missing from the data from Florida, I'm going to have to say that I'd be surprised if Florida doesn't fall toward Trump at this point. We'll just have to wait and see. Calling my friend in Chicago. See what's going on there.
Hey, buddy.
What's the word, man?
What's the word?
Are you watching the results?
Oh yeah.
What are these magpies saying? Because I'm just looking at the numbers. I just noticed that they gave Ohio to Trump, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah. No. I've got the sound off on the television.
You you do? Good. Yeah, I can't stand it.
No, because you can't have that. Otherwise, the vein in my neck starts pulsing.
I know.
It's, you know what I mean? Nuts. I just feel the pulse, and the next thing is a stroke or something. You know.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, I'm watching, look, North Carolina, he's ahead by 5 with 75% of the precincts counted. Let's see what else. He lost Virginia, which I'm not surprised about, but Ohio is really a surprise. And it's just Florida. What's the holdup? 99% in and 2 points ahead. They should call it.
You know them, they're playing around with all the things they can. Connie, man, come on, you know that.
You're gonna have to. Where are the votes that we put in the box before the election? Yeah, that's the other thing I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for him to say, "Oh, we found a whole bunch of early votes. Here's 2,000 early votes that we got to count." You know.
Yeah, they'll find a bunch of Gore votes. There you go.
Why didn't you call me back?
Busy right now.
Yeah. I have a feeling they're going to call one of these things really soon here. So I should probably hang up, but I'll call you back. I'll call you back when it's all over with. We'll kibitz.
Whichever. Otherwise, we'll kibitz.
What do they call it? Kibitz or kibbutz? I don't remember. Kibitz is the camp, a collective camp, and the kibitz is, a coffee klatch, right? Something like that?
I think so. I don't know my Hebrew.
From Chicago. Why don't you know that?
I did have a good friend in high school, Sheldon Meyerson.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Big nose. All right.
And Steve Grieber. Remember, Steve Grieber lived right next to McVeigh. Remember that?
Vaguely, real vaguely.
Yeah, I wonder if he still lives there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I doubt it.
I don't see Arizona called for Trump yet. What's going on over there?
We're a little bit long. We got to wait. It's only 23% of the vote. So.
Yeah. Okay, man.
All right, I'll see you in a little while.
All right, have a great night, and we will talk to you later.
Sounds good.
You don't have to bother calling back to later tonight, or if you don't want to.
No, I'm going to call back, because I'm going to be up all night drinking coffee. See you later.
All right, bye.
Bye. Okay, they have just called Colorado for Clinton, which is interesting considering it's 59% of the vote in Colorado. And, you know, while the polls tightened a little bit, she pretty much stayed in the lead in Colorado. So that's kind of a Virginia class discussion. Colorado has 9 electoral votes. It's important just because depending on how close this thing is, Colorado is an important state to win. So she won New Mexico and Colorado. Now, we were just talking about Arizona with my friend Steve. So 23% of the vote has been called. Here's the thing that's significant about Arizona. John McCain has won re-election to the Senate in Arizona, so that's pretty important. For a while, that was a close race, and they've called that for McCain with only 23% of the vote in. So right now, the Democrats have one pickup and one hold in the Senate, but just like in North Carolina with Burr retaining his seat, and we're waiting. Oh, no, they've just called North Carolina for Trump. That is significant. Calling North Carolina for Trump is a big deal at this point because North Carolina was considered a southern battleground state. So with North Carolina going to Trump, that is really important. So Ohio and North Carolina for Trump. So now it's all about Florida and secondarily Pennsylvania, which now has 64% of the precincts in. Here again, Clinton leading in Pennsylvania. So Trump has taken Ohio. Trump has taken North Carolina. Finally, I mentioned just as I was talking about Richard Burr, I hope it's Richard Burr. I think it is, but it's Burr, who is the senator from North Carolina who was, electorally challenged there for a little while. He won his race. North Carolina has gone to Trump at this point. So now it's down to we're looking at Florida. So we talked about Virginia. We talked about Ohio. We talked about North Carolina. North Carolina, Ohio go to Trump. Virginia goes to Clinton. And now it's all about Florida, where they're saying 99% of the vote has been counted, and it's just holding steady. Trump at 49.2 and Clinton at 47.7, and I would think they're going to have to call Florida pretty soon. Here's another state that's really neck and neck and has been neck and neck, and people predicted that Clinton would win New Hampshire. 54% of the vote counted in New Hampshire. So far, they haven't called it, and Trump's in the lead by about 1.5 points. And I just want to say this because it's really important. These totals are well within the margin of error for the state polls. So if a poll showed Trump up by 1 or 0.5, Ohio, he was up as much as 1 or 2, as low as 0.5, although he led in Ohio for quite some time. The numbers are, tightening down to be quite well within the margin of error. Virginia, the same thing. So for people who say, well, the polls lie, again, if you're looking at margin of error, 3 and 4%, the polls have not, the word accurate is not a word that I would apply to a poll, but they're reliable in terms of their predictive capabilities, as long as you understand that it's hard to call some of these very, very close states. So I'm still waiting on Florida. That's pretty much it. Okay, so it is 9:53 Central Time, 10:53 on the East Coast, and they have just called Florida for Donald Trump, which is huge, 47% to 49%. And I was waiting for that. And so now I'll just give you an electoral count just for grins. Trump, Pence, 213. Clinton, Kane, 131. Florida, Ohio, and North Carolina voting for Trump is really a significant hit to Hillary Clinton's hopes for the presidency. But we still have Pennsylvania. We're waiting on New Hampshire now because New Hampshire is another state. Not only 4 electoral votes, but it's kind of a big deal. Iowa will probably go to Trump. I'll just say that right now, even though the votes haven't been counted. But you had Chuck Grassley with a huge lead in Iowa, and you had Trump with a lead in Iowa. So right now, but interestingly enough, only 17% of the precincts counted in Iowa. They're probably all in Des Moines. and all from Drake University, and Clinton is leading with 51.4% of the vote. So I'll just again say that. I'll be surprised if Iowa goes for Clinton. They might, but and just simply based on the fact that Chuck Grassley retained his seat there. So it's very similar to what has happened in North Carolina and Ohio. I think those Senate races, and Florida too, really, because Rubio won his race. So I think Rubio, Portman, these guys, Trump owes a great debt of gratitude to some of these senators. Certainly not McCain, because McCain doesn't like him. But Portman and Rubio, even though they ran against him, I think they helped him out a little bit in those states, because they had solid margins. And it's one of those things where a senator like that at the top of a ticket can really help in a state. I don't want to go on and on, because we're waiting to see the final tallies on some of these other states, but Florida has now gone to Trump. Well, you know I don't like these electoral calculations, but Trump and Pence roughly at 213 electoral votes right now. Clinton Kane at 131. Winning Ohio and North Carolina and Florida are big deals. So what's left? Well, let's count a little bit. New Hampshire, as I said, which is kind of hanging out right now at about 55% of the vote, and Trump's ahead by 3 points or so. New Hampshire's got 4 electoral votes, and there's a tight Senate race there, so keep that in mind. So that's 4. Georgia, which he'll probably win, is 16. That's 20. So that's 233. If he wins Michigan, where it's 47% of the vote counted, he's ahead by 2 points, roughly. That's 16 more, as I mentioned. So then we're getting close. Now, Iowa. Where's Iowa? I got to find Iowa here someplace. It's somewhere around here. Iowa has 6 electoral votes. So then we start talking about, as I said we would, Nevada and Arizona and Idaho, because she's going to win California and she's going to win Oregon and Washington State. So then Alaska is going to be important. Arizona, Idaho, Nevada. They gave Colorado to her, so that's going to be really important. And then, of course, Utah. So those are the states that are going to be important to Trump. I don't think he'll win Minnesota. He could win Wisconsin, and Wisconsin could be significant, because Wisconsin has 10 electoral votes, and he is leading right now in Wisconsin with 58% of the vote counted. Now, I don't know, but here's the thing interesting about Wisconsin. As I said, Republicans in Wisconsin are used to these very close, tough races. This is the whole thing with Ron Johnson, and I haven't even looked at the Senate race in Wisconsin to see how Ron Johnson is doing. Let me just, go to the Senate race and we'll just go to the overall Senate and look up Wisconsin right now and just see where we're at with. Well, they're saying that's a GOP hold. So Ron Johnson has won re-election in Wisconsin. So given that, and let's see what the margin was. Pretty close. Johnson 52-2, Feingold 45. And that is something the polls really didn't show. It showed a much closer race with Feingold in the lead for quite some time, although Ron Johnson kind of pulled it out. So the question here at this hour is whether or not the Johnson victory and the McCain victory are going to help Trump in Wisconsin. So if he wins Michigan and Wisconsin, then and Iowa and Georgia and maybe even Pennsylvania with its 20 electoral votes, that might sew it up, especially when you get into Nevada and Arizona and Utah and Idaho. So that's where we're at right now. Okay, well, they just brought up I keep wanting to call it Iowa. Idaho is just been put into the Trump column. Very small percentage of the precincts counted, but I'm not surprised. And of course, California for Clinton, and people are jumping up and down. California and Washington State, as I predicted for Clinton, these were already stronghold states, so no one is surprised by this at this point. With Ohio and Florida for Trump and North Carolina for Trump, that is significant because they'd already counted in California and Washington State and Oregon for Clinton. So those, just like they've counted in most of the Mountain West, the significant states at this point are Nevada, Arizona, and then moving east, Michigan, Wisconsin, where he's leading, and Pennsylvania right now. So they just called Utah. It's funny because when this thing updates, sometimes you don't really see anything. So it's a Senate or congressional race update. And So it's just interesting to see if I can find, you know, what the heck they updated, and they just gave Utah to Trump. Utah is interesting because there was all these predictions about how that former CIA guy was going to beat Trump in Utah, and it was going to take it off the board for him because Utah has 6 electoral votes. And so with 19% of the vote counted, they're giving Utah to Trump. He has 55% of the vote there. So I don't know. We'll see. But I think it's interesting that they decided to give Utah already to Trump. So Trump has Idaho, Utah, again, the West filling in as expected. These are not surprises. Texas is not a surprise. The big surprises so far have been, as I said, again and again, Ohio, Florida, North Carolina. So let's see if that pattern holds with Michigan and with Wisconsin. And I didn't even check the Senate race in Michigan. So, or at least I think there's a gubernatorial race in Michigan that might have an impact on the Trump thing. So that's the latest update at what time is it now? It's 10:18. So it's 11:18 Eastern. Okay, very quickly, I just want to do this because I think this is really interesting. So we know that Trump's probably going to win Georgia. We know that he is going to probably win Arizona. So what it comes down to is Iowa. It comes down to Nevada. It actually comes down to Alaska, believe it or not, with its 3 electoral votes. It comes down to New Hampshire with its 4 electoral votes. And maybe even Maine. Did I mention Wisconsin and Michigan? So it's very interesting, this little battle going on right now for the last 30 or so electoral votes, because he has to get 271 electoral votes essentially to win. So this is very interesting. So they're going to be calling some of these eastern states soon. So they're probably going to call Pennsylvania pretty soon for Clinton, although it's really close, 49.3 for Clinton in Pennsylvania, 47.2 for Trump. I don't know which precincts are, I would imagine that the eastern or western Pennsylvania precincts closest to Ohio may be voting for Trump. 83% of the vote totals in the precincts in Pennsylvania. You can't call it at this point. I mentioned Georgia. That's a fait accompli. But Wisconsin, I think, is very interesting because he's leading by 3 points in Wisconsin. They got 68% of the vote in. And Ron Johnson winning unexpectedly, in my view, is probably perhaps a harbinger. We'll just have to see. But if he wins Wisconsin, that's pretty interesting. So Ohio and Wisconsin, and he's leading in Michigan, which is a big surprise for a Republican to be leading in Michigan. As I said, I pointed that out because it's really close right now, 47.9 to 47.1, 60% of the precincts in Michigan. So I wouldn't hold out any hope for Michigan. You know, Clinton could still win this, but if he's going to win Georgia, as I said, if he wins Wisconsin, if he wins Iowa, if he wins Arizona and Nevada and Alaska, then you're pretty close at that point. If she wins Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin and Minnesota, which we are sure she's going to, and Iowa, then it's going to be Clinton. This is a really interesting presidential election. Okay, they just put Iowa and Wisconsin in the Trump column, and I'm sure they're doing that because in both cases you have strong victories by Senate candidates Grassley and Ron Johnson holding on to the Senate seats there. And I'm just going to look over here to the results for Wisconsin. I got to find it because I thought that was a pretty big deal. Hang on a second. My brother-in-law is calling me. So yeah, Wisconsin and Iowa just came through for Trump.
Isn't this unbelievable?
It's kind of a surprise, but we're still not there yet. 239. He's got to win Arizona and Nevada yet. So, and he's going to pick up Georgia, but what?
But did you see the detail of Wisconsin?
No.
He mopped up in Wisconsin. It flipped from almost all blue to almost all red.
Well, that's
basically Milwaukee.
Yeah,
basically Milwaukee and then the very northern counties.
Yep.
Which is like kind of Iron Range type stuff.
Yep, Superior.
That was it. The rest of the state is red.
Well, that's really interesting, actually. That's a big deal. And winning Ohio and Florida is a big deal. So you got, so he just, they just put, yeah, they just put Wisconsin in that column and also Iowa, which I think is a big deal. She put up a tough fight in Iowa. So, you know, Iowa, it's 50-43 with 53% of the precincts. That's going to tighten up before it's over, but they called it for him. Let's see what else. We're still waiting on Georgia, which is going to put 16 more to his total. But see, it's tough because she's going to win Pennsylvania. You know, he's got to win Nevada, Alaska, and Arizona. She's going to win Minnesota. Now and then it's going to going to come down to New Hampshire.
They were talking about high at 269 and having to go to the house.
Well, if it goes to the house, by the way, it's the new house, but if it goes to the house, Trump will win. So, unless Republicans vote for her.
But, I mean, like, that's never happened in history.
Well, it has happened a couple times, but it'll be interesting. I don't think that's going to happen. We'll just have to see. I'm going to have to go because I got Andrew on the other line.
All right, see you.
I'll call you right back. What's going on?
Hey, what's up? Am I on the podcast right now?
Yeah, you're on the podcast.
Well, can I be off of it?
Why do you want to be off the podcast?
Because I'm super tired. I've been out like all day and my mind's really
tired. You cannot even believe this.
It's not over yet. Tell her it's not over yet.
It's not over yet. What are you saying? Am I on the podcast? I want to be on the podcast.
Yeah, he's got to win Arizona. He's got to win Nevada. He's got to win. He may have to win Michigan. He's going to get Georgia. He's got to win New Hampshire. He's got to win Alaska.
Florida.
Well,
on the podcast, hi, all podcast people. This is off the record, so it's a breach of journalistic ethics, but, you know, whatever. Classic Bob Davis podcast, am I right?
No. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I'll turn it off. I'll turn off the podcast machine, and we can finish the conversation. One of the things I love about podcasting is ambient sound, and my neighbors have turned on their TV in the basement, which I love, so I can kind of hear Wolf Blitzer in the background. So here's what we're waiting on at this point. It is roughly 11 o'clock Central. What we're waiting on now is Michigan. We're waiting on Arizona and Nevada. We're waiting on Alaska. Trump has won Wisconsin, as you heard. So it's very close. People are saying he's won. Well, he's got roughly 255 electoral votes. She has 209. So it's really down to these last few states. She's going to win Minnesota. She's going to win Pennsylvania. So what about New Hampshire? What about Nevada? What about Arizona? What about Alaska? That's where it's going to come down to those last few votes. If Trump wins Michigan, then he's got it. That's all he needs is 15 more electoral votes. So this is a nail biter. Michigan right now, as we speak, I was actually surprised about Wisconsin, but I just said with Ron Johnson winning his race there, that's a big deal. So let's look at Michigan very quickly. Where is it here? Michigan, 46-48. Trump is winning with 65% of the totals. And I'm being told they're giving him the trend in Michigan. I would be very, very dubious of those kinds of statements. But if he wins Michigan, he's got it at this point. So we just have to hang on and wait for these last few states to come in. Well, I'm starting to get all these calls from people saying, you know, texts, he's won. They just gave Nevada to Hillary Clinton, which is significant because if he loses Michigan and Pennsylvania, well, then we're going to have quite a fight down to the wire. New Hampshire is very close, and I don't think anybody can call it. I'm just hearing out of the other corner of my ear here these idiots on CNN talking about every little vote tally that comes in. He's up by 2,000. She's up by 2,000. Let's just wait till the totals come in and see what happens with New Hampshire. But that's where we're at right now. I just made a fresh cup of coffee, fresh pot of coffee, because it might be a while for Michigan and Pennsylvania. So, but what is it? Pennsylvania is actually really surprising me because he's ahead by almost a full point with 97-98% of the vote counted. So I expect that Pennsylvania may come in before Michigan. In Michigan, he's up a half a point or a point and a half. So let's see what happens here. Okay. So it is about 40 minutes past midnight Central Time. The heat is on. You can hear it in the background. The water heater. And we're down here in Broadcast Bunker checking it out. They just gave Pennsylvania to Trump, which puts him over the top. Unexpectedly, Pennsylvania being put over the top for the presumptive future president. 274 electoral votes for Trump-Pence and 215 for Clinton-Kane. I also think that it's very possible we're going to see Michigan come in for Trump as well. He's got a two-point lead there with 89% of the vote counted. And yet Arizona still to come in, and he's got almost a four-point lead in Arizona. Minnesota, oddly enough, pretty close right now, 47.2 for Clinton, 45% for Trump, 87% of the precincts counted. But here's the thing about votes in Minnesota, something like yet 100 or so precincts in the way up in the 8th districts yet to be counted. So I expect those will come in for Clinton. But then, you know, I don't want to call it because it's hard to tell. But this is it. You know, Trump unexpectedly has won Pennsylvania. It looked like a much tighter race there. But still, you know, the final tally was 47-6 to 48-8. And very quickly, I've been looking at some of the state-by-state polls, which I just talked about in the previous podcast. You know, they're not that far off, and they're well within the margin of error. As I predicted, you could not predict how this thing was going to roll out. So Trump has won Pennsylvania. We're going to see about Michigan. He's probably going to take Arizona, so he's going to have a nice, comfortable, for him, electoral margin.
Yeah.
Okay, so for the end of the podcast, I'm going to be joined by my friend Mitch, who has decided to come on into the broadcast bunker. We're at the end of the evening, and on, you know, it's 2:45 a.m. I'm not going to sit here and wait for these idiots in Michigan to figure their crap out. Mitch just came from, where the hell were you?
I was at the Minnesota GOP election night party.
Where was that?
At Radisson Blue. And all of America.
Didn't you tell me that Trump was... No, not Trump. Tom Emmer was talking about me.
Tom Emmer mentioned you.
What did he say?
He got up on the stage, and I was kind of half paying attention. And then he said... He started to speak, and he's like, oh, Bob Davis would be all over me or upset about me popping my peas.
Yeah, he was popping his peas. He always does that. They all do. All those politicians eat the mic. That's their big thing. And I used to give Tom such a hard time about that on the air, and it's just so funny. But good for him. He won by like, 20% or something like that up there?
It was
a real solid. So Minnesota has not yet been called for the president and presidential race. And right now, actually, Trump is within 1.2% of winning in Minnesota with 96% of the precincts in Michigan, 47 to 47.9, Trump leading with 98% of the precincts. So they're not going to call that anytime soon. Arizona, I don't understand. 90% of the precincts, it's 49-7 to 45-3. I don't know why they haven't called that unless they're waiting for God knows what. So... And I was down in Bisbee, right? I was driving around Bisbee, and then there's another border town down there south of Bisbee. And I was driving around, and I took a wrong turn, and I almost ended up in Mexico.
Oops.
And I came out literally right in front of the border checkpoint. So maybe that's what they're waiting for.
This will be the last time you'll be able to make that mistake in the future when Trump has that 80-foot high wall.
They'll just shoot me. Before I even get to the border, I'll just be gunned down.
You'll see it coming. It won't be like some chicken wire fence stretched through the desert. It'll be like the Israeli wall right there.
Exactly. So it's kind of fun. We're at the end of this. Mercifully, this thing is over with now, and now the real craziness will begin. Somebody told me, and I didn't see it, that Hillary Clinton has like a victory stage at the Javits Center in New York.
It's a beautiful thing.
And what did you tell me when you came in? You just came down the stairs, and I was standing here with my shirt off, and because it's 100 degrees in here. What did you tell me about John Podesta coming out?
Oh, yeah. John came out, and he looked furious. And when they put the sign at the bottom of the Fox News that said that Podesta would speak soon, and everyone's like, Hillary's drunk.
So, well, yeah.
I mean, why did they send him out?
And here's the thing. I don't want, I didn't endorse either candidate. I know you worked for candidates. I didn't endorse either candidate. I don't like either candidate. And I'm not going to count crow on Hillary Clinton because I don't know what Trump's going to do yet. And, we should, before we're done, the Senate has been retained Republican. They lost one seat. They lost, it looks like, something like five seats in the House, although we don't know yet because there's still races that are out. Stuart Mills and Nolan up in the 8th District. I don't know if they've projected that or not yet, but there's still something like 50 or 60 precincts out in the 8th district. But Republicans will retain the House as well, even though the Democrats added five seats or maybe six. I don't know. Or retain whatever they retain. We have to wait and see. But here's the thing. I think with a House and Senate evenly divided like that, you're not going to see everybody's like, well, Trump's going to do this and Trump's going to do that and all this other stuff about what Trump's going to do. He's got a Senate and a House that are not necessarily going to be super cooperative, depending on what they're looking at in the 2018 cycle. So you know, just hold your fire on what's going to happen with Trump. It's a happy night if you supported Trump. It's a happy night for Trump and his family. It's an unhappy night for Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. I'm sure she's throwing lamps and everything else. He's probably 100 miles from her at this point. But it's not a pleasant experience to lose an election, especially when you're running for president.
How long has she been running for president? 16, 18
Well,
years?
I mean, since they got out of the White House, and yeah. But I mean, Secretary of State, two terms as a senator, and you know, I'm not going to just start throwing things at Hillary Clinton. She lost, and that's that. And I think she lost pretty decisively in this thing, especially if Michigan finally, in the end, comes in for Trump, and especially if, well, there's no more ifs. The only thing we're waiting for is Arizona, and Trump has something like 279 votes. So, you know, regardless of what happens, I don't think he's going to win Minnesota, but you never know. It's close enough. I don't want to call that either. But he probably will win Arizona. So he'll have something like 280-some electoral votes, and she'll have 200-some. So it was a close election, and now we're going to see what happens with a quote-unquote divided nation. I'll tell you one thing people are united on. Are you ready?
All right. Hit me.
I haven't met a single person from any walk of life who is happy with this election. Almost everyone has a sour taste in their mouth on the candidacies and the primary fights in this election on both sides of the political spectrum. So this talk about how America is divided is nonsense, because we're united on one thing. We wish that these people would just shut up. And the other thing is, you know, the media and the predictors of what was going to happen, and you heard me sort of do it in this podcast, a bunch of nonsense. You know, we don't know what is going to happen. Stop. I have one thing for the media, and I think it's because the managers, and I'll do future podcasts about this, I think it's because the managers of these stations, these cable stations, these radio stations, they spend too much time watching analytics, and they spend too much time watching meters, and they're convinced that they have to be telling people who's going to win. And they were completely wrong about this race. They had people convinced Hillary Clinton was going to win. So there's a lot of shocked people out there, because if you'd listened to my podcast, I told you that nobody could tell you who was going to win this race, and that is exactly the way this thing played out. So the big losers on this thing were the politicians in general and the media. I'm going to end it. I'm not going to sit here and wait up all night for Michigan when I can have some late night, you know, bacon and eggs and coffee or whatever else I'm going to consume. So, you know, I can make you some bacon eggs, because I know you haven't eaten all night. So if you want, I'll do it.
It's been a long night.
I have green beans, too, so, you know, there's good things happening.
Is there Komodo Dragon coffee in
there? There is Komodo Dragon mixed with Italian roast, and it's really good.
Whoa.
So
okay.
I'll make some more.
I got my own Komodo Dragon, and I've been mixing it with espresso
Ooh,
beans.
Ooh, that's espresso. Good stuff. That's really good stuff. All right, so more results tomorrow, but I'm done. This is the election night coverage for 2016. We'll wait tomorrow for Michigan and Minnesota and Arizona and the rest of these recalcitrants. But that is it for this particular
Can we go back to our real lives now?
Yes. I don't know. I hope so. I hope so.
Normalcy will be restored.
And thanks once again to xgovernmentcars.com for providing mobile podcast command. Yes, I paid for it, but I just can't give them enough credit, because I love X-Government Cars. Remember, they've got the Chevy Impalas, the Dodge Chargers, the Ford Crown Vics while they last, the Ford Police SUVs, the Ford Police Sedans, Expeditions, Yukons, you know, all of it. If you need a car, if you need a loan, and you have a job, you can get approved. If you're a veteran, you can get a special discount, $500 on a Veterans Day. They do this every year. So check it out, xgovernmentcars.com.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Once again, thanks to Ryan Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast 2016 election coverage. If you want to get emergency service this winter, if you want to have them come out and check your heat, it's a good idea to do so before it gets cold. 651-224-4771 in St. Paul. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul, that means the suburbs too, at RyanPlumbingAndHeating.com. And of course, who can forget Alpha Systems? If you're a pilot, you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, and Alpha's motto is pilots fly safe. This is why they make the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. And the bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Why? It is a visual indicator of the amount of lift underneath your aircraft as you make that final turn to land, which is such a critical thing in general aviation, you have a visual indicator so you know how much power you need to add to stay in the air. It's that simple. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about the revolutionary angle of attack indicator at Alpha, and pilots fly safe. And that banner's right at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You know, I'm really sick of these closes because they're so long and involved. You know what? Thank you for subscribing wherever you subscribe. Thank you for sharing and liking and blah, 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 blah with the hoop-de-doo on social media. You know where it is and you know how to find it. I'm at Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. I'm not up in the snap yet, but I will be. So there. Thanks for listening to podcast. What is this? Podcast 570, the Election 2016 Special is over.